Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 coming to you from Techorama in the beautiful city of Mechelen in Belgium. So good to see you, bud.
Yeah, I'm back. Thank you.
I know, but you came all the way from Australia to Belgium. I saw you in London, so you do a lot of traveling, bud.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm back here being Europe, because everywhere in Europe feels like the one place. It's so small for me.
That's right.
Back here next month for NDC in Oslo as well.
So when we talked last in London, we talked about security. Mm. There's been stuff that's happened since. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, look, every day there's something. So I guess one of the things I do a lot of is I look at data breaches, right?
Right.
So I look at where companies are getting hacked. So there's been a few really big ones since we spoke. And there's actually been a lot in the dating scene. So a few have come to mind. So there was one called Mate One. So this is an online dating site. And let us be clear, there are various classes of dating sites. So there are classes of dating site where if one of us was a single guy, we probably wouldn't be too upset if people knew we're on there.
Absolutely.
So there's that one. There are other classes of dating site where we might actually prefer a little bit more anonymity. For example, had we been on Ashley Madison, we would have.
Which I was not.
And that is the correct answer every time, regardless.
Somebody hacked my password.
Someone else put my account on there. So since we met, there's been Mate One, which is a legitimate dating site. There has been a beautifulpeople.com. And this is an interesting one because beautifulpeople.com has an entry criteria, and the name is kind of self-explanatory. So what you do, and I shouldn't laugh because they've been hacked and it's bad for people,
but sure.
The I guess sort of more conceited side of it is that you sign up, you upload your photo, and then other members vote on how beautiful you are.
And
if you reach the beauty threshold, and I tested this, I went and I just downloaded some random photo online and I uploaded it. And then women start voting. So you got to have the opposite gender votes
right.
And they will vote you up. And you sort of see how beautiful you are. And if you're past the beauty threshold at the time the voting closes, then you get entry. So they got hacked. They lost about 1.1 million accounts. And the interesting thing with these guys is that it was MongoDB. So we're seeing a lot of MongoDB get hacked because MongoDBs, there's a lot of them standing out there without any authentication. Very easy to discover. And you get this really, really rich set of JSON data that gets exposed. So for each individual, there are like 160 lines worth of nice, beautifully formatted JSON. Everything from what is your birth date, what is your name, what is your sexuality, what is your marital status as well.
Oh my goodness.
And it's all out there in the public. So that's then sort of the middle of the road relationship stuff. And then on the extreme end, we had the Fappening Forum. So last year we had all of these iCloud photos or celebrity iCloud backups get leaked, became known as the Fappening. A lot of individuals, very famous individuals who'd taken nudes of themselves on their phones, not realize they're backed up to iCloud, and then they get their iCloud hacked and that gets leaked. And the forum of people discussing that was hacked. I think they had about 180,000 accounts, including .gov email addresses.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, make of that what you will. But we're seeing a lot of this sort of stuff still happen.
And so here's the thing, like, we're seeing so many breaches, and obviously you have a website that we talked about last time where you sort of upload this data. Why don't you talk about that process for those that maybe haven't heard of it so they can subscribe to your service?
Yeah, sure. So if I jump over here into this little tab here, we have I been pwned? And the premise of have I been pwned is that you can go and enter your email address, and I'm happy to do mine. I have been in, as you'll see, a number of data breaches. And what you'll get is you'll get a list of every incident that you've been exposed in, at least the ones that I make publicly searchable. So for example, I have been, let's have a look. I've been in the OOO web host data breach, which actually came as a surprise to me because as far as I know, I never had one. We talked about it last time. And I've been in a few others, Adobe, Plex, Patreon, that sort of thing. If I was in Ashley Madison or any of these ones where it could actually have a serious ramification on me personally, I don't make it publicly searchable. So what I have to do then is jump up here and say, look, I want to actually get notified when there's an incident. And then I get an email that verifies my identity, and then it shows me, after I'm confident that you actually own it, you know, the sensitive ones you're in too.
And that's interesting, right? Because what you're doing then is this big dump of data happens, and then you have to put it here.
Yeah.
And then what you're doing is anytime you put your email in there, you're just cross-referencing. You've got to have like millions and millions of records in there with thousands of breaches.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, at the moment, what the numbers are saying, if we scroll down a bit, is I've got 345 million accounts, I had a journalist contact me last night and said, look, I've just had someone contact me about another dating site with 57 million accounts.
Oh my gosh.
And I've just had a bit of a look, and it looks like it's probably legit as well. So, you know, by the time this goes to air, that could be over 400 million. And this is basically what happens. We have these massive data breaches pop up from sites that have been successful and accumulated large numbers of members. And then the data ends up publicly. And the challenge for me then is, for something like 57 million, how do I get 57 million records into this system? Because it's not just as simple as saying, you know, insert into table.
Right.
I've got to put things in table storage, mm-hmm. which is my storage construct I use in Azure. So I've got to do that. I've got to go through and then cross-reference many hundreds of thousands of subscribers and say, well, who needs to get emails? I've got to send thousands of emails. And a whole bunch of other things have to happen as well. So it becomes a bit of an engineering challenge for me as the system gets larger, and then as each breach gets larger and larger as well.
So we talked, and we didn't record this, but we did, but it messed up. But there was a time when the Ashley Madison dump happened, yeah. and all of a sudden you saw like this humongous spike in traffic to this, and I believe you were skiing. Is that right?
Yeah, I was snowboarding. So this was in August last year, which is our snow season down in Australia, and I was torn because it was a massive event, and I want to process the data, and I want to, you know, respond to people's questions about it, but I really want to go snowboarding.
Of course.
Now, this is the modern day, right? So you can do both. So I'm out there, I'd snowboard down the mountain with my son, and then I get on the chairlift and I whip out the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the iPhone, literally like in the middle of nowhere in the mountains, RDPing into a server in West US data center, spinning up instances, processing data, doing other things I can't do on my iPhone or over a bad connection.
Sure.
But I had just enough bandwidth to be on the chairlift, RDP'd into this machine. And I was like having that moment. It's like, I am now George Jetson. You
know? Yeah.
I am controlling the future with this little phone in the middle of nowhere.
But give people a sense for like the traffic difference. Like, you went from a couple thousand to like millions, like really yeah. quickly, and it didn't go down, right?
Yeah, so I had some really good stats come out of this, and I wrote a blog post about, I think it's something along the lines of here's what I learned about scaling Azure from Ashley Madison. And what I found was, from memory, that the stats were my traffic increased 57,000% in a day, mm-hmm. which is big.
Yeah, 57,000%.
So that was big. I had 1 million+ users on one of those days. I had everything set to auto-scale. I run medium instances of Azure websites that will have a minimum of one instance, maximum of 10, and then they'll just scale out yeah. as needed. Before all the traffic hit, I went, I'm going to just buy a little bit of insurance, and I went to large, but I just let things organically, you know, elastically
scale.
Do its thing. So it all went nuts, and the scale went crazy, and then when it all sort of came out in the wash later on, I was worried about two things. I was worried about how much traffic I would have lost, and I was worried about what I would have to tell my wife about how much it actually cost.
Yeah, because you let the thing just all of a sudden scale up.
So I got my weekly New Relic report, and the weekly New Relic report said I had 100.00% uptime. I was happy with that. That was good. And then I went in
and now the nervous part.
And right? Now the nervous part, because, and this is the thing, because people worry, right? They say, look, this cloud is really good, but does that mean I can pay money I wasn't expecting to pay?
Right.
And it's like, well, yes, if you're wildly successful enough, that may happen. But my cost came in at $130.
Holy cow.
Australian dollars too. So that's less than $100. And I was worried about this, but at the end of the day, it costs like a dinner out, right?
Yeah.
So, and this was to service millions of people and not drop any traffic. And that was just awesome.
That's amazing. Like, you scaled, what did you say, 500, 700%? What was it? It was a 57,000% for $100.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So let's move on to the next topic, which I think is even more important, because people are seeing these breaches now happen all the time.
Mm.
Is there a carelessness that's happening with people's data?
Yeah.
And how can people protect it a little bit better?
Look, there's a carelessness all around, and I'll bring up a blog post here that people might find interesting. This is the last one I've written at the time of recording,
mm-hmm.
About breach concealment. And this talks about, there's a Minecraft website. It's not a Microsoft Minecraft website, it's another third-party mm-hmm. site. They lost about 7 million accounts. And there's a few interesting things in terms of carelessness here that we can talk about as both individuals, consumers of the site, and the people running the site.
Right.
And this is reflective across the industry. I don't want to just single these guys out. But we saw things like they had MD5 password hashes.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you have an MD5 password hash is you can copy it, search for it in Google, and you'll almost certainly get the plain text.
Really?
Because
I did not know that.
The main problem here is that they're not salted. So you don't have any randomness. So every time someone uses the password with a zero instead of an O, it has the same hash. And then we get these hashes and plain matches, and you literally just Google them. And in fact, you can see this. If you go to somewhere like create MD5 hash, and we'll go through, here's an MD5 hash generator. So we'll generate, say, password like that. We don't want a space in there. Generate. And then this would be the hash. So you find a data breach. We'll zoom in a little bit for everyone there. You find a data breach. It's got this hash in it. You've got no idea what it is. You whack it into Google. You search for it. And you'll get all these sites that come back and say, well, this is what the value is. You go in here.
And that's because they're not using a salt, for example, the hash.
Not using a salt. So there's your plane. So we've sort of just, we created the hash from the plane, and then we demonstrated how easy it was fun. So that was one problem we saw in this website called Lifeboat. So just for context, this is a site that lost the data. So that was one thing. The other thing we saw, and this was the reason why I've written this blog post, is that they got hacked, and they discovered they got hacked, and then they thought, well, the best thing for us to do is not to tell anyone, because if we tell people, then the hackers will know that they've got limited time to actually exploit everyone's accounts, which is just an entirely nonsensical argument, because what ended up happening is we had this case where people didn't know that their passwords were compromised.
Leaked, yeah.
And this sort of brings us now to the part of what are we doing wrong as consumers, because what was happening, and I have a couple of screen caps of this down a bit further, is that we were seeing people say, well, this is actually a real problem, because I have actually reused my account. So we had people like this. Literally all my passwords, social media, PE servers, email, etc., were this password.
Oh no.
And you just saw how easy it was to find the plain text. So as consumers, we still have this password reuse problem. And this is also why data breaches are valuable. If you have this Lifeboat data breach of 7 million accounts, out of those 7 million, you're going to have probably a seven-figure number of people that have credentials that not only can you crack very easily because they're MD5,
sure,
but you can go to their email, possibly their bank, their social media, and log in because they're going to work.
That's crazy. And now, here's the thing. You talked about breach concealment is not a protection. I saw on your blog post that there was actually a company that said, hey, we've been hacked. Can you put this in your database? That was, to me, was really awesome. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, this was an interesting one. So this will also be towards the top of the feed here. This was this one. This was my 100th data breach I loaded into the system. And these guys run, it's basically a mod for a trucking simulator. And they got hacked and they had, I think it was about 280,000 accounts.
Which is not a lot compared to some of these other ones.
Not a lot in the scheme of things. But they basically said, look, we think the right thing to do is to give you the data so that people can be more aware that they were compromised. And when I say the data, they gave me the email addresses. I sent notifications to Have I Been Pwned subscribers. So they got notifications. You can go and search for it now. You can figure out if you've been exposed or not. And they were very transparent about it. And what they did, if you read through the details of the post, is at all times they were going, what's the right thing to help people mitigate this risk? And the really interesting thing is you compare that approach to the other approach we just mentioned. And you particularly look at the community sentiment and feedback. So these guys here had all of these tweets going, hey, like, yeah, stuff goes wrong, but well done, guys. Like, this is a really good answer. And they were actually surprised at how much positive feedback they got out of a bad incident compared to the other guys who tried to cover it up, and now they're getting continually bagged on social media.
This is awesome. So we saw a bad case. If you get breached, then you need to do something. This is a good way of doing it. Now let's talk, just to finish up, we have just a couple of minutes left. What are some things you can do to protect your users' data? I mean, should you just not even store their data anymore? Should you use third-party systems for identity? Or should you, if you do decide to store identity, how do you protect it?
Well, you made one point there, which is really good, about not storing things. And I'll give you a really perfect example. Have I Been Pwned? You've got the 345 million accounts in there. I only store the email address. Mm-hmm. So my worst case scenario, God forbid everything goes wrong, is there's 345 million email addresses in there. Yesterday, there was a story about another website which does a similar thing to Have I Been Pwned. They had a vulnerability which leaked about 800 and something million email addresses and passwords. And I'm looking at it going, why did you have the passwords?
Yeah.
Why? because as good a job as I try to do with my system, I can't lose what I don't have. So yeah. No matter how badly I screw up, I can't lose people's passwords. So that's a very good thing. Don't store what you don't need and then right. You can't lose it. I really like the idea these days of using social logins. Now, for the right sort of site. So if you've got a site where you have people who are a bit more technically orientated, who are used to the concept right. of authenticating on one location and then your identity persisting, that's great because now you don't store any passwords.
Right.
You have a really low friction registration process, all that sort of stuff. So that works really well. Using native framework constructs. So if you want to go and build stuff in ASP.NET, you have the identity provider.
Right.
Use that. If you want to put it on Azure, you can use Active Directory behind your services in order to actually do all the storage and all that sort of thing. If you're going to do any sort of hashing or anything of passwords, use the built-in hashing or use reliable, dependable libraries. Don't create things that already exist. So look, all of that, I mean, they're sort of pretty fundamentals, but that's where I'd start.
This is cool. Like, I feel like we need to have you on like every time we can, because I think we need to be aware as developers that we are compromising our users if we don't do certain things. So where can people go to find out more about you? Just finish up.
So people can go, first and foremost, go to troyhunt.com. So all of my things are on there. Everything that you see on the screen is pretty much what I do. My speaking, my workshops, everything else.
Sure.
Lots of blog posts about what I'm doing with Have I Been Pwned, about security in general. And of course, the Have I Been Pwned website. And if you want to know how to build a site like this and how to use Azure to do this sort of scale stuff, everything I've done is documented on my blog. You can find all the info there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Troy. Again, we're here at Techorama in Belgium. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We will see you next time. Take care.
Thanks, guys.